This is the Craig Groeschel Leadership Podcast.
Hey, welcome to the Craig Groeschel Leadership Podcast. I am super honored that you'd spend a little bit of time with us. If you are new, our goal is really simple. We want to help you become a leader that others love to follow. We will drop a brand new leadership teaching on the first Thursday of every single month. But guess what? This is not the first Thursday of the month, and we have a bonus episode for you today, and I could not be more excited to introduce to you my very special guest, Lisa Turkhurst.
Thank you.
Lisa, it's awesome to have you on the podcast.
Thank you. I'm usually on the listening end of this podcast. I'm a big fan of the Leadership Podcast, and I thank you for what you deliver every single month.
Well, I'm incredibly honored, and I want to tell our audience about you. A lot of them would know you, some might not, but Lisa is not only a four-time New York Times bestselling author. Some of you have probably read some of her books, Uninvited, The Best Yes, Unglued, Made to Crave, and I think maybe 20 other books or so. But not only are you an incredible author, but you are like a world-class, I always say she's a powerhouse leader. She leads Proverbs 31 Ministries, and this is really an organization that creates content, consults, and such. They have 60 employees, and they reach over 6 million people around the world every single year. You created the First Five mobile app, which has over 2 million downloads. And whenever you host, like, even an online Bible study, the last one, I think I heard one of your team members say had 65,000 people come to it. We've spoken at leadership conferences together. We've done one-day leadership training. I've learned so much from you that I even brought you in to train our staff about sharing content. And so it's a great honor to have you with us. And I do want to celebrate just out, I think even this week, is your brand new book.
Yes.
It's Not Supposed to Be This Way, Finding Unexpected Strength When Disappointment Leaves You Shattered. And congratulations on a book that's already helping tons of people.
Thank you.
I'm excited about the content. In fact, what I'd like to do is I'd like to tie off of the content in this book. In fact, we could have another subtitle if we were looking at this as a leadership book. We could call it Leading Strong When You Feel Weak and Broken. Mm. And that's what I want to talk about today. I would love it if you would kind of help guide our leaders through the idea of how do we lead through pain as leaders, either personally or always professionally. There's challenges, there's hardships, there's hurdles, there's obstacles to come through. I always say, if you're not hurting, you're probably not leading. Mm-hmm. And I want to talk to you about that today. Before we dive into this more weighty subject, tell me a little bit about the background of Proverbs 31, and then we'll talk about some of the more nuances of leading through pain.
Great. Well, I always know how old Proverbs 31 Ministries is because at our first meeting, I carried my oldest daughter in an infant carrier, and now she's almost 25 years old. And so it's pretty strange to me to think that I've adulted that long. I still feel young at heart, but the reality of having worked in a ministry 25 years speaks that I'm not so young any longer. With Proverbs 31 Ministries, I'm thankful that I do get to lead a team of over 60 people who are passionate about delivering content that connects in deep ways every single day. What our main focus is as we develop our content is to think about how can our content enter conversations that people are having. And then we want to unleash the power of conversation around biblical messages, positive messages, messages that move people forward. There's a lot of chaotic noise right now in the world where people are stuck in their hurt and their pain and their dissension. But we want to be that voice that leads people forward to positive change. How we develop our content is we talk about the felt needs because people talk about their felt needs. A felt need is a problem that someone is having, a question that they're asking. So our content delivers a solution and answer. It doesn't have to be the ultimate solution, doesn't have to be the ultimate answer, but it's something that will help people move forward, one step forward into becoming healthier, healed, whole individuals. So in a nutshell, that's the content that we're delivering every day.
Well, your content is fantastic. It's impacting so many lives. And I'm one of those who've loved what you've done. You continue to lead over 60 people. That's a real and a growing organization that's just skyrocketing. And yet you've been through some real personal challenges. health, significant health issues, mm-hmm. and others. You don't have to be too personal, but with as much as you're willing to share, what have you had to endure and overcome in the past few years and still lead a growing organization in the middle of all the chaos?
Well, there's been a lot of heartbreak. You know, I've honestly had to look at my greatest fear straight in the face and not only walk to it, but walk through it. And not only walk through it, but carry the weight of leading through it as well. I think it's important to acknowledge right off the top that sometimes as leaders, there's different levels of leading through pain. Sometimes what you're walking through, it isn't wise to lead through it. And we could do a whole show on that. Other times you walk through it, but you're walking with such a limp that maybe you need to take a little break for a while. And I want to fully acknowledge that I am thankful I developed a culture inside my organization that allowed me to take a season of sabbatical when my limp became something that I need to sit down and rest for a little while and heal. So thankfully, one of our major principles within our organization, within our culture, is that we freely give grace because we desperately realize we need it. And the issues that I walked through, they weren't choices of my own making. Those are things that I think, again, we could talk about another day. The hardships that I walked through were placed on me because of choices of other people and unexpected health issues. One of the most heartbreaking things that I've walked through is devastation in my marriage. And so when I say that I've looked my greatest fear in the face and had to walk to it, through it, and lead through it, is that my husband got caught up in some things that that honestly, it felt almost like his soul got hijacked for a season. He wound up having an affair, and the devastation that that caused me was horrific and hard. In the middle of trying to process that, I had a pretty serious issue with my colon. It ripped away from the abdominal wall, twisted up, and cut the blood flow off inside of me. I had to have a significant amount of surgery to fix that problem. The doctors did not know if I would survive, and I wound up in critical care for over 15 days. On the heels of healing from that, I was also diagnosed with breast cancer. So these past 3 years that I've walked through, this isn't just some disappointment that I've faced, but this is really tough stuff where I've honestly at times said, I feel like I have literally licked the floor of hell, but lived to tell about it. But here's what I know. In the midst of all of our systems and mission statements and vision statements and measurable indicators of effectiveness and growth strategies and all of that stuff, we must not strip the humanity out of the reality of who makes up our organizations. I am a big believer in all of those words that I described, but I also know at the heart of every leader is a beating heart that's hurting. And Craig, to be honest with you, yes, I've been through some big devastating things the past 3 years, but I can't really remember a season in my leadership where there wasn't something causing me pain, right, big or small. And I don't want us to compare pain today. You know, pain is relative. If you have pain in the context of your everyday life, whether it's a staff member that has gone rogue on you, or somebody from the outside not understanding and criticizing you. We could list financial hardships, so many things. The reality is pain is pain. And if you are a leader with a beating heart, chances are there's something hurting you right now.
Right. I think you're right. I think everyone listening that's a leader is experiencing some level of pain. And, you know, any one of those three things you talked about going through could put a lot of people on the sidelines to an irrecoverable point. You had a good team around you. You had good counsel. You stepped away when you needed to. You engaged when you needed to. But you survived and are overcoming, and your organization is thriving. Talk to me about the how. I know that there's some people listening right now that they've got a good organization, and they've got a kid that's going AWOL. They've got a marriage that's in trouble. They've got sickness in their family. They've got aging parents. They've got financial issues, something that's weighing them down. How'd you get up and face the day as a leader when maybe you wanted to stay in bed or even run away and hide?
That's such a good question, because there were some days where honestly I thought, I don't even have enough physical energy to stand up and face this. But one thing that did empower me to be able to do that is recognizing that it's good for my organization to see me be vulnerable as a leader. Vulnerability breeds trust. Vulnerability, appropriate vulnerability, can breathe life into an organization. We have to remember our organizations are living, thriving things. They're not mechanisms or robotic assembly lines, you know. So I think bringing the humanity of their leader in front of them, that was important. And seeing immediately that the other people in my organization, they were hurting too. Mm-hmm. And seeing even in the midst of my pain, good coming from me being willing to share with my team what I was going through, you know, that was good that was created. And that gave me a lot of courage. And being reminded that I was never promised an easy life, but I was promised good on the other side of hardship, of every hardship that I faced. And so seeing some of that immediate good helped me a lot.
Let's unpack that a little bit, because I can imagine some people listening right now that have maybe real personal challenges going on, and we don't want to vomit everything on our team. I don't think that would be fair, but I think to not let them know sometimes an appropriate level of details would also be a mistake. Talk to the leader right now who's trying to determine how much of a personal issue is appropriate to share, and how do we determine what to do?
I think that's a great question. There's a big difference between privacy and secrecy. So for me, I chose to keep a lot of the details private, not because I was keeping secrets, but because it was hard to invite public opinion into my very private pain. However, it was also important for me to get out in front of the issues. And what I mean by that is when a leader is hurting, people around them on their team, they're going to sense that there is hurt there. And it's unfair to the people in our organization for them to start wrongly assigning what they're sensing to problems within the organization, because it can erode your culture pretty easy if they're trying to solve problems that aren't the real problem. I was hurting as a leader. People around me could feel that. I chose to keep a lot of details private, but I also decided it was more important for me to tell the story in truth than for the story to be told through the rumor mill. And so I stepped out in front of the story and I acknowledged the facts of what I've been through. I also acknowledged the impact that those facts had had on me. At the same time, I acknowledged that I was not going to share every detail of this, but I also comforted my team to let them know that there were professional people, there were pastors, and there were good, godly friends that did know the detail, every detail of what I was walking through. So it gave them the confidence that they didn't need to know every detail. One thing we have to remember is that people's curiosity has an extreme appetite. And if we give them too many details, it will satisfy their curiosity, but diminish their stability. And we don't want to do that to people. So I gave them just enough facts to let them know what I was going through, just enough facts to let them know the impact of what I was going through, and the assurance that other people did know the whole story and had spoken into me, it was okay for me to still lead.
You know, as someone who admires the organization that you've built from the outside, one of the things I'd have to say and compliment you on is that you built a culture that gives all the leaders permission to be human and to be real and to be transparent. And I think, you know, some people listening right now, we feel pressure as leaders to be perfect, to have it all together, to have all the answers. And the problem is when we create a culture where that's kind of the demand or the expectation, then when things go awry, we don't feel like we have permission to go anywhere. And then we feel isolated and we're in more danger. And so I think that's a good thing for leaders to work on, is creating a culture that allows us to be transparent. And then in that community, there are times when we drive the organization forward. There are other times when the organization actually helps care for us. Mm-hmm. And I think you've done a great job of creating a culture that allowed you to lead through the hard times and yet have your organization not collapse, but come out even stronger on the other side. So
thank you.
This would probably be an obvious question. But one of the things we get a lot from people, they email in, they want to know how we deal with criticism as leaders. There's a lot of people getting shot at. Do you ever get shot at in what you
Never.
Do? Never. Yeah. We all get criticized. Talk to us a little bit maybe about how you've grown in your tolerance for criticism. How do you lead through it when you might be shot at for something that's inaccurate or unfair?
Well, one thing, the very best time to forgive a critic is before you're ever criticized. So I think it's standing right now in the midst of today before the criticism comes. And here's one thing I can promise you if you're a leader, you've either been criticized, you are being criticized, or you're about to be criticized. And you could say, well, that's not very positive. No, I'm positive.
You're absolutely right.
You've either been, yeah. you are, or you're about to be criticized, right? Mm-hmm. And so I have already made the choice to forgive the critic of tomorrow. I just have. I recognize very much that some of what the criticism is that's coming my way should be paid attention to. In other words, in the midst of them saying things that are hard to hear and maybe most of it's terribly unfair, there may be one little nugget that actually I needed to hear that and it could help me move forward as a leader. And so I'll take the gift of what they've given me and I'll let the rest go.
I think that's a great point. Now, I think we need to stay there for just a minute because so often we feel like it's all unfair, but I think the wisest leaders will recognize we often do get better if we have the heart to listen.
Well, part of the reason why criticism hurts is because they've just given voice to thoughts that we have probably had about ourselves but have never dared to verbalize, right? So part of the reason that it stings so much is that it's not quite as ridiculous as what our flesh wants to just kind of go, that's ridiculous, you know? So there may be some element of truth to pay attention mm-hmm. to, but also we don't want to park there, you know, because there's a lot of it that we just need to let go. And this isn't going to be a problem to solve. It's going to be a tension we have to manage. I mean, if you're going to put yourself in the public, you're going to be criticized. Mm-hmm. The other thing I think that's really important when talking about criticism is deciding in advance that I can't control what other people say, but I can control how I react to it. One of our other family values within Proverbs 31 that helps shape our culture, I actually got it from a very funny place. I was watching the Golf Channel one day. Don't even ask me why I was watching the Golf Channel. It's the only time in my life I've ever watched it. But I was watching it, and they were interviewing Alabama's head coach, which I don't want to get into like all the college dynamics of sports. People are so passionate about this.
You could cause a podcast split in
a
moment.
I just said roll tide. That'll do it right there. So I'm not going to say it.
If it just got cut off, if there's no Lisa Turker sitting board, you know why.
That's it. But anyhow, I was watching an interview and Nick Saban said something that completely fascinated me. He said when his recruits go out and then present one sheets and he lays out all the qualified candidates that could possibly play football for him, he puts them into two categories, the ands and the buts. And what he said is most of these sheets, I guess the top part of the sheet are all the statistics of why the players are qualified. Every single player that's put in front of him is qualified to play football for him. But what he looks at are the comments below. And some of the comments will say, fantastic player, but has a hard time submitting to leadership. Fantastic player, but not a team player. Or there's this other stack, good statistics, and the comments at the bottom, fantastic player, very qualified, and demonstrates tremendous humility. Or terrific player, and will be a leader on any team that he's in. So he divides up the recruits into two stacks based on those comments into the people of the ands and the people of the buts. And he wants to recruit those players who are people of the ands, very qualified and great character. And so I taught that lesson to my very female staff. We do have some male staff members, which is great. But I said, it's a funny kind of story, but it's so important to me that I want to weave it into the culture of our family values. We are a people of the ands, not a people of the buts. And I think when we're criticized, we have that choice. Like, you're a great leader, and when criticized, boy, a person of extreme grace, a person who could look behind what that person's saying and realize at some point that person's been really hurt, and what they're saying is more of a reflection of their heart than your heart. And we can determine to demonstrate, I think, the greatest leadership moments are not necessarily the ones that we that come from our carefully planned things that we say. I think it's when our team watches us react. Mm-hmm. And so right then and there, we have the choice to be a people of the ands.
That's a great word. I like that a lot. And if I wasn't as mature as I am, I could probably make some jokes about not being people of the buts. You know, but I'll save that for another day.
Perfect.
Since you don't have a lot of men, that would be like a fourth grade boy joke. And so, the you know, I want to talk a little bit more about how you endure it. So if you're going to do more, you have to endure painful criticism. One of my kids, Stephen, the kid, it's almost like he doesn't feel physical pain. You can hold him down and tickle him and, you know, or, you know, put him in a hold and he won't surrender. He doesn't seem to feel pain. On the other hand, if I'm going to get a shot, I'm like a baby. And so I don't have a great physical pain threshold, but as a leader, I have to, in order to do more, I have to increase my threshold for pain. We're always hurting. We're always going to be making a decision that people aren't going to understand. Sometimes we have personal information about something and it would be inappropriate to share it. And so we just have to bear the weight of it.
Yes.
We feel a pressure as leaders that it's until someone sits in that leadership seat, they don't understand. It's a different weight. It's a different pressure. And the more influence, the more responsibility, the more pain that we endure. I think, Lisa, that sometimes people's inability to endure the pain keeps them from growing in their influence or their productivity. What advice would you have for a leader that needs to grow their pain threshold?
Well, first of all, I want to acknowledge that I am one of those people that is more emotionally sensitive than physically sensitive. I'll take a shot any day of the week in my arm with a needle, but taking a shot from somebody criticizing me, that's much more difficult for me to endure. But I was in the Holy Land. I've traveled to the Holy Land a lot. And I was standing in the Garden of Gethsemane where there was a grove of olive trees. And I will never forget the lesson that this plant specialist taught us about the olive tree. And I feel like it's the greatest example of learning how to grow your endurance through pain, grow your emotional endurance through pain. He said, there's three truths about the olive tree. Number one, that the olive tree will not produce fruit unless it experiences the harsh winds of the east and the refreshing winds of the west. It takes both hard times and good times in order to be fruitful. As humans, we will not discover our purpose unless we have gone through hard times and good times. We will not learn the secrets of remaining steadfast if we don't have both encouragement and painful criticism. It takes both in order for us to discover our purpose. The second truth about the olive tree is that once the olive tree does produce that fruit, the fruit is not useful until it's gotten rid of its hardness and its bitterness. And we are much the same. That fruit, that olive, has to be cracked open ever so slightly. It has to be salted and soaked and salted and soaked. It's quite a process to get rid of hardness and bitterness. And if we don't go through hard times, the human heart is so has such a propensity to stay hard and to get bitter. And when we go through painful experiences, it softens us and makes us more receptive and more humble to recognize we aren't the smartest people in the room, and that's okay. We can actually receive what other people are trying to give us, even if it comes in a package of criticism or painful statements, right? And then the third truth about the olive tree is what's most valuable about the olive is not the fruit itself. What's most valuable from the olive tree is when that fruit is so hard-pressed that oil comes out of that fruit. And the oil is the only thing that can be transferred transferred into becoming light. And that light that shines in the midst of darkness is incredibly valuable. And so even in seasons of my leadership where the pain is not just a discomfort, but it's a hard pressing, I will sometimes literally step back, remembering these truths of the olive tree, and I'd be like, ooh, this is a hard pressing. The oil is coming, and that means light is on the way, right? And if I can remember those perspectives in the midst of pain, it takes me out of, am I typically a person that can endure pain, emotional pain or not? I'm always going to be sensitive. That is woven into the DNA of who I am. It's probably not realistic for me to become more thick-skinned, but I can become a woman of perspective, and I can see the positive nature of the pain. And if there's purpose in my pain, I can endure it.
That's a good word. Let's dive into that a little bit more. Sometimes I'll tell leaders the difference between where you are and where you could be is the pain you're unwilling to endure.
Oof.
On the other side, you need to have a tough conversation. Your organization may have outgrown a staff member. You may need to reorganize something. You may need to shut down a department. You may need to regroup and change something. And we're afraid of the pain, but on the other side of it is something that's valuable. Talk to us about a time that you had to step into something knowing it was going to be difficult, but on the other side, it was worth it.
Well, there's been so many of those kinds of situations, but I am a big fan of going to leadership conferences, and it may have been one of the leadership conferences I attended, and you may be the very person that taught me this, but sometimes there is a pruning that's necessary. What got us here won't get us there. Mm-hmm. And I remember one of the foundational aspects of Proverbs 31 Ministries was our magazine. And we had our magazine for years and years and years. We did a magazine. We loved our magazine. We were proud of our magazine. We had staff for our magazine. One of my key leaders was over the magazine. And yet, when we sat down to look at what are some areas of our organization that need to be pruned, because I had attended a leadership conference and that was well taught, and I think it may have been you, I told my staff, I said, here's how we're going to determine what needs to be pruned. When we look at our organization, let's be very honest. What feels like pushing a boulder uphill and what feels like running alongside of a boulder running downhill and we're just steering it and guiding it? Because whatever feels like it's running downhill and we're just steering and guiding it, I feel like there's momentum there, and momentum is so healthy. But those areas of our organization where we feel like we're pushing a boulder up the hill, it probably means either other people are doing it better and this isn't our sweet spot, or it's something archaic that we're hanging on to, but it really is needing to be pruned. Mm-hmm. And so as I challenged my staff to think through that, they wanted to know what was my answer. And it was so hard. It was awkward. I was afraid of hurting feelings. But I said, I think we need to cut our magazine. And I had lots of reasons why, business reasons. I also had vision reasons, mission reasons. And it was hard. But I did guarantee those people, if they could walk through the process, they wouldn't lose their job. We were just going to have to change the dynamic of how that time and money was spent. So on the other side of that, we started an initiative called Compel, which is training people instead of the magazine, shut that down, transferred those people who worked with words and were excellent, transferred them to a membership site called Compel, Words That Move People. And now, to date, the impact of doing that financially has been massive within our organization. The magazine was draining money. Compel is one of the leading business development initiatives that helps support the ministry initiatives within our ministry. The leader that was over the magazine, she trusted me enough to make that hard step sideways from the magazine to the membership site, and has grown and developed and had so many more opportunities than she ever would if we would have stayed with the magazine. So that was an example of a time where the conversations were awkward, the move was hard, but it was the best thing we've ever done, and it allowed us to move forward in ways that we needed to move forward.
I want to let that sink in, because I feel like there's probably somebody listening right now that has a difficult decision to make. And I want to say it again, sometimes the pain that you're unwilling to endure is going to keep you from, you know, a better return. If you had not done that, the short-term pain you had from changing it would have become long-term pain in a dying and drowning organization. And so yes. If there's someone right now, you know, you may need to step into a painful situation, make the decision, have the difficult conversation or whatever, but it's worth it. I want to wrap up with this. Again, congratulations on your book. This will be your fifth New York Times bestselling author. I'm not a prophet. I just know it is. So, you know, it's not supposed to be this way. Your vulnerability is powerful. Telling your story is important. Your writing is brilliant beyond measure. And I'm thankful that you write and speak words that connect in such a deep way. With that in mind, this is probably your 20th book, 20-ish. You've written tons of books. People look on and go, oh my gosh, Lisa Tarkus. You're the classic 20-year overnight success, meaning you push through disappointments, heartbreaks, letdowns, attempts that failed. I know there are so many people right now that are hurting. Their ministry is struggling. Their business is hanging by a thread. Their culture is toxic. They don't know if they have the strength to go on. Talk to that person right now. How do you push through the pain of deep discouragement?
Well, first of all, I want to say, even if your organization is dotted with little black holes of hardship, it's not one big black hole that the entire thing is not bad. There is plenty of good, even in the midst of the hard. And I would say, number one, the only difference between me and every other person that started writing at the same time I did 20 years ago is that I just made the choice not to quit. And so don't quit. Quitting's not the answer. Yes, some things have to be changed. Yes, some team members may have to be fired and new ones hired and whatever. Those are realities. So, but just recognize, like, quitting is not the answer. Changing, that's the answer. And the second thing that I would say is there's something very profound and helpful when we simply make the choice to do the next right thing. You can't do everything today to fix your organization, but there's something you can do to make one thing better. Focus on that, start to create momentum there, and I think your perspective will start to lift.
That is crazy powerful. Do the next right thing, whatever it is, just the next right thing. A little bit of momentum, and that can go a long way. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of people, at least, are going to want to get your book. It's not supposed to be this way. It's available pretty much everywhere. People may want to connect with you and enjoy some of your other resources. How do they do that?
You can connect with me through the ministry website, proverbs31.org or lisaturkus.com. You can also go to the book website. It's not supposed to be this way.com.
Yeah. It's an honor to have you guys with us, Lisa. Thank you for your transparency. As always, if this is helpful to you, it means a lot if you share on social media, invite others to be a part. And on the first Thursday of next month, we'll have a brand new leadership teaching. You embody what I always say, and that is, you don't have to know it all. You don't have to be perfect. But as a leader, you do need to be yourself, because people would rather follow a leader who's always real. Do you know it?
Than yes, one who's always right.
Thank you for joining us for the Craig Groeschel Leadership Podcast. If you want to go even deeper into this episode and get episode resources like summaries and discussion questions, you can find that online at www.life.church/leadershippodcast. You can even sign up to receive leader guides delivered straight to your inbox every time a new episode is released. In the meantime, we'd love it if you would rate, review, and subscribe to this podcast on iTunes and tell your friends about it on social media. As always, thanks for joining us for the Craig Groeschel Leadership Podcast.